Welcome to Citadel Church Sermon of the Week. Citadel Church is here to connect you to God and to develop you for influence. For more information about Citadel Church, you can visit www.citadelchurch.com. Here's the latest sermon by Pastor Tracy Armstrong.
Man, God's presence is here, right? God is so good, so faithful. You know, I just want to speak a word over you guys, and then we'll get into the word. As I was praying for being with you guys, and man, I've been anticipating this, hearing so much great things about you guys as a church. And as I was praying, I just felt God say, there's an open heaven over this church, okay? There's an open heaven. There's an open heaven over, and I thought to myself, okay, how is that going to happen? I saw pretty clearly why there's an open heaven here. Well, I got to hang with the team in prayer beforehand. How many know that opens up the windows of heaven? I got to see worship and your passion and your leaning. Nothing like being in the presence of God. Amen. And I'm telling you, one of the things I love about God is he always responds to us. He can't stay away from us. That's the thing about God. He can't help himself. You say his name, he comes running. You know what I'm saying? He's right here in this place. And so I just feel like God was saying there's an open heaven over your life. And here's the beautiful thing about an open heaven. That's the time to ask, right? That's the time to go to God. And I believe this is a word for your pastors, that there's an open heaven over you guys. You need to ask. Keep asking big. Keep believing big. Keep calling down what God has spoken to you. But as you know, and you've already been talking about authority, whatever you're part of a house, that word's for every single one of us in this place. Ask. Come on, God. What have you been downsizing in the ask to God? What have you been shying away from? God is saying, come on, ask of me. There's many times where I felt like God has told me to remind his people, you're asking too little of me. Don't ask so little of God. Don't ask so little of heaven. He loves you. The windows of heaven are open over your life. So lift up your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, God, for provision, for release, for strength, God. I thank you, Lord, that you give us courage and faith to ask, to boldly come before you, to not withhold our questions, to not withhold our requests, but to boldly come to that throne of grace. God, and we make our request this morning, and we wait in expectation of your response. If you believe that, give God a big hand clap of praise. Come on. Go ahead and grab a seat. Go ahead and grab a seat. Man, so fun already getting a chance to be with you guys. Back hanging in the Northwest. I'd be wearing my Seahawk hat, but I already did my hair. So come on, somebody. I will promise you we're going to be done in time to watch that game. Come on, somebody. Let's go. Let's go. I know every pastor is always looking at the roster. Lord, let it not be a 10 a.m. game. Lord, let it not be a 10 a.m. game. Come on, somebody. Terrence, you treated me real nicely. We had a little Brazilian steak dinner last night. Come on, somebody. Woo! You know the anointing's on him when he leads you to the promised land there. You know what I mean? It's fun to hang. And Matt and Meg, we go way back. OG youth minister here in the Northwest. And I had a privilege of serving and pastoring up here for almost 17 years in the Seattle, Tacoma, Bellevue, Puyallup, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, y'all are from the legit part of the Northwest. You know, I was more in the hood of Tacoma. Come on, somebody. How many? If you haven't taken a little drive by the Tacoma waterfront as of late, the Lord has been good to that place. Okay. I'm not going to take all the credit because I was there for a while, but I'm telling you what, that's a spot now. It's such a good spot to go and hang and chill. And my homie Mark, right here on the front, decided to come and kick it with me this morning and hanging out. And we did a lot of stuff together over the years, especially a lot of outreach stuff together in our communities down there. And so it's a privilege to have you come and hang in and just continuing to stay in touch over Facebook. And social, and then I was so pumped that I saw the comment that you're going to come kick with me this morning. So, honored to be here, and your pastors. How many of you got some great pastors? You know, for you know, we go way back. I mean, I don't know how when the first time, you know, that we connected, but I remember just your pastors having such a place in the formative years of my calling and ministry and the giftings that God had put in my life, and they spoke life into that, spoke just vision and prophesied and ministered over that and became really such a, you know, such a catalyst and an encouragement to the gifts that God had put in my life. And so the fact I get to come back here and serve you guys and serve the family here is an absolute honor. Give it up for your pastors. I love you guys. Love you guys. So let me read from the book of Numbers. Come on, somebody. How many know the Lord's even in the book of Numbers? Come on. The book of Numbers. I'm going to kind of give us a snapshot of the end of the story, and then we're going to kind of reverse engineer this thing and see what God wants to speak to us. Numbers chapter 14, verse 24 says this, "But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and he follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land that he went to, and his descendants will inherit it." Come on, Caleb had this, something about him, right? He had a different spirit. He said, because he's got this, there's something different about him. There's something different about Caleb. There's something on him that is different. And because of that, I'm going to bring him and his descendants into the land, right? I'm going to have them step into the promise, into the purpose, into the call, into the what I've already set out for Caleb and his family, because he had a different spirit. He had a different spirit. So what's the difference? Let's talk about that a little bit. What was the different spirit about Caleb? I think a lot of what we'll find here as we kind of get the backstory is there's something about the way Caleb talked. There was something about the language. There was something about the difference in how he spoke that revealed the spirit that he walked in that completely shifted everything in his life and his situation. So we're kind of backtracking here now to where Moses is getting closer to the promised land here. They've come out of Egypt, and they are going to kind of begin to spy out the land of what God has for them. And so in Numbers chapter 13, verse 1, it says, "The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of the leaders." So at the Lord's command, Moses sent them out from the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites, and these are their names, and goes through all their names, many of that we don't recognize, but two that we would, Caleb and Joshua. So Caleb and Joshua are a part of this group that gets selected to go into the land and go check it out, right? So Moses, at God's command, selects these 12, and they're going to go check out the promised land, right? I mean, this is a big deal. This was God mightily rescued his people out of slavery, out of Egypt, and now they're heading towards the promised land. They're on this journey, and it's time to go check it out, right? It's time to go look at it. So the 12 get out there, and they're, you know, checking out the land, and Moses says, See if it's fertile soil. See, you know, get a read on what we can do there and its ability to thrive in. And let's check it out. So they're looking, you know, they explore the land. They gather some samples, right, of the goods of the land. And now they're about to come back. And the 12 are about to give the big report, right? This is a big recon mission that's just happened. And now they're about to give the report to Moses and the rest of the crew, right? So Numbers 13, going down to verse 26. So imagine Joshua and Caleb are among the group, and then there's the 10 others. It says they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. They reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. "We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit." And then verse 28, this is where the conversation starts going south, okay? And if you're Joshua and Caleb, all of a sudden your ears start perking up. You're like, wait a second. I don't think this is what we talked about, but listen. Verse 28, "But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. So this is that moment, if you've ever been like maybe in a business meeting when you and some colleagues are supposed to report something or give an account, and you realize the person giving the account is much different than what you're wanting to report or talk about. So Caleb's like, something's wrong. So Joshua and Caleb are like, okay, we're on two different pages here. So they stopped the conversation, verse 30. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it, right? How many know that's a little different, right? That's a pretty drastic difference from what we were just hearing. He said, listen, we can do it. We should go up, right? But the men who had gone up with them said, we can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are. They spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they'd explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there of great size. Now, they love adjectives in this, you know, really supersizing it, right? We even saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. So here's what's happening. We are seeing a drastic difference between Joshua and Caleb and the rest of the spies, right? And what's happening here is a language difference. What's happening here is a vocabulary difference that we're noticing, right? In between Joshua and Caleb and the other 10, it's drastic. It's obvious to see in this situation. But what you did, they didn't notice it until they were attempting to begin to step into what God had. It's a little bit like an alignment in a vehicle, right? A lot of times you can't tell you're out of alignment until you get on the freeway and you begin to accelerate, right? Right? Once you accelerate, you know what I'm saying? And depending on our vehicles, praise the Lord. You know, I was like, hey, you know what I mean? Like, it starts getting real. It starts getting real out on the freeway. And when you begin to accelerate and you find out, man, my vehicle is out of alignment. Something's not right. There's some shaking going on in this vehicle, right? And when we get to that place where our vehicle is shaking and freaking out on us, we kind of have one of two options, right? We either got to get an alignment check up, or we need to start driving slower, right? And in our lives, God is wanting to take us into some new territory. God is wanting to accelerate your life, but acceleration always requires alignment, and oftentimes a realignment, right? Always requires that. But when you start feeling a little bit of shaking in your own life, maybe some disturbance, maybe some difficulties, maybe some struggle, oftentimes what you're facing is an alignment issue, right? But the enemy is always going to want to get you to decelerate, back up, go a different route, go, well, maybe God's not in that. The difficulty does not mean God is not in it. I just want to remind us of that. A lot of times, pain causes us to stop. Now, for example, Pastor Tracy and I, obviously, when he's in the gym and it gets painful, he keeps going. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, I stopped. You know what I'm saying? Like, so two very different workout strategies, right? I saw pain as a sign to go get a latte. You know what I'm saying? Like, he saw it as a sign to push through the pain and get some muscles. Come on, somebody. You know what I mean? And, but for me, right? Now, maybe in the gym I can get away with that. But in real life, we can't live that way. We can't live that way. We got to keep leaning in and understanding that the shaking, the disturbance, the difficulty oftentimes is an alignment issue. The language is off. Something's not right, right? If we're going to go into everything God has for you, there's going to have to be some adjustments, right? We're going to have to go back to the shop, get an alignment checkup, get an adjustment, recalibrate some things. Oftentimes, that's a struggle. In Numbers 13, as we're reading, what's happening here is they have a language problem. The 10 spies are speaking doubt, negativity, fear, right? And the 2 spies have this vocabulary of faith that's coming out of them. There's a different language. There's a different dialogue that's coming out of this. And what you'll find is that each level has a language. Each level has a language, right? Each space that we live in is there because of a language coming out of us, a spirit coming out of us. And we don't always like to hear this, but you and I are exactly where our language has taken us. Right? I am where my language has brought me to this point. Whether I like it or not, I am where my vocabulary has sent me. Right? This language, this spirit coming up out of the inside of me is absolutely setting where I'm at. Think about it like this. Anybody like to golf? Anybody like to golf? I'm not asking if you're good at it. I'm just asking, do you like it? You know what I'm saying? Like, there we go. I get a couple other witnesses. You know what I mean? Like, I love golf. I'm horrible at it. I don't call myself a golfer. I'm going out for a walk. You know what I'm saying? So here's the deal. Anytime you go to play some golf, right, you're ready to take a swing. I attempt to line up the best I can to hit that ball towards the hole, right? That's what I'm attempting to do. 9 times out of 10, it ain't going that direction, right? It's going crazy right, crazy left, or it's not leaving the tee because I whiffed it, something, right? Something bad's going down. But here's the truth. That ball may not go where I want it to go, but it is going exactly where I hit it. Every time. That ball, whether I want to believe that or not, that ball is going exactly where I hit it, right? The ball cannot do anything else but go where it gets hit, right? So if I don't like where it's going, that means I got to make some adjustments, right? And my life is where my language has taken me so far. So if I don't like that, there's good news. We can have some adjustments, you know what I'm saying? And a new level is going to require some new language, okay? New level is going to require new language. Well, the current spirit, the current dialogue coming out of you has gotten you this far, but to go to that next place God has, it's going to require some new language, something new coming out of you. See, words have this ability to give us access, right? When you were a kid, did you ever have a fort or a club, something like that, right? Password. Got to have a password, a secret password to get in, right? That word provided access into the club, right? Or our computers, right? We got those top secret passwords, right? Lord Jesus, help nobody find mine out because it's the same one for 1,000 things, you know? Scratch that from the recording, okay? So, for real though, they're always like, make completely different ones. Man, I'll go crazy if I had that many different passwords. Jesus, help us and protect all of our password protected things in Jesus' name. Help us. I'll tell you what. They're powerful to give us access. We know from the very beginning, right, that, and we talked about it here already, our words, by the word of God, the world we see was existed. I love Louis Giglio. One of my favorite contributions to kind of Christianity in this era was the term that he brought up, which is that God is a star breather. He called God the star breather. I love that. I just think it's such an awesome picture of who this great God is that we serve, right? But by a word, everything, right? By the word of God, we live in the reality of the spoken word of God. And you and I have that creative force on the inside of us as well, right? The word of God in our mouth, the word of God that he's given us creates and designs. And like we know, the Bible says, the power of life and death is in our tongue, right? Life and death is coming out of us. We have the ability to produce life. We have the ability to create death in our world, and it's all in the tongue, right? Another analogy, this is such an important topic of the Bible, so they're always trying to help us navigate it, but it says that the tongue is like the small rudder in a boat, right? Large ships are turned by small rudders, right? No matter if the ship wants to go a different direction, if the rudder is taking you a certain place, that boat is going to go in that direction. And it's the same thing with our mouth, same thing with our language. The dialogue that's coming out of you and me is setting the course. And a new level that God wants to bring us into is going to require some new language, okay? It's going to require some new vocabulary, some new conversation. I feel like each time of my life where I saw acceleration, where I felt like God advanced me, oftentimes was the byproduct of some new thinking and some new speaking, right? A lot of times it wasn't always a brand new skill I didn't have before, right? It wasn't always like I got some upgrade on something. I got some, money I didn't, expect to come. I got some, new credential on the end of my name. Usually it was God helping me see something different, think something different, and begin to speak something different, right? And so that's Caleb has this different spirit. So out of that spirit came a different language, right? It came a language that allowed him to step into the promises of God. God has got things for you guys. Promises yet untapped. Areas that you are yet to step into. Callings that are yet to be realized. You know, homes that are yet to be bought, right? Family yet to be started. I mean, God has got so much that he has for you, but you got to begin to speak a language that takes you in that direction. We got to begin to have a different dialogue if we want something in our life to go to another level. Maybe in our marriages, right? If we want a better marriage, we may need to have some different language spoken to each other, right? We might need to change the dialogue. Maybe we've been tearing each other down. Maybe we've been harsh with our words. But you ain't going to go to another level in your marriage with that kind of vocabulary coming out, right? We're going to have to elevate that. We're going to have to begin to speak life into each other at another level. Maybe just in relationships. You want great friends. You want to have great people that you're doing life with, right? Maybe the vocabulary coming out of your mouth is repelling everybody around you, right? So if you're having a struggle with that, you need to stop and ask somebody to help you get in alignment with your language, right? So that you can begin to open up new doors of opportunity to relationships in your life. Parenting, how many of you got kids? Come on, somebody. All right. I can tell. I got two little girls. They're amazing. They're the gift of God, but how many of you know you need some help? You know what I'm saying? How many know parenting ain't easy? How many realize really fast as a parent why it's easy to be a bad parent? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like it's a lot easier to be bad parents than good parents. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's actually not hard to just like keep them alive, keep throwing food at them, giving them technology, give them candy, give them what they want, try to keep them quiet. You know what I mean? But if I'm actually going to be a good parent, then it's going to take some effort. It's going to take some work. But I've got to be somebody that even despite my kids' issues and dysfunctions and sin and whatever, that I keep having a language that speaks life into them. You know what I mean? I know our kids can frustrate us and not always do right, think right, act right. But God, give us the vocabulary of life. You know what I'm saying? Give us the ability, like God looks past our issues. Come on, somebody. Yeah, I remember the first time God, like, you know, really just slapped me in the face related to parenting. Well, actually not the first time, one of many. But with my daughter, my eldest, when she was several years back, and first really articulating her own opinions and really asserting her own authority in her life. And I remember saying to her, Mercedes, I want instant obedience from you. Instant. And then I felt the Holy Spirit say, yeah, me too. Yeah, me too. Got me. Shoot. Just kidding. Mercedes, do whatever you want, when you want, how you want. Get to my word at your leisure, okay? Finances. Some of y'all need a new language around your finance. Speaking death, speaking poverty. God's got something different for you, right? You got to begin to think different, talk different. Your career path, stop speaking death over your career. Maybe if you want to go to that next level, that promotion, starting your own business career. What are you saying? What kind of dialogue is coming out of you? Are you in a survival kind of mentality mode of just trying to get as much as you can and hold on to it? Or are you thinking differently about wealth creation, about adding value to society and those around you? So the simple, small language shift will give you access into that next area. You know, when it comes to our calling or maybe even things God has spoken to you about, you know, a lot of times, if we're not careful, God can speak a word to us. God can call us into something. But if we keep rehearsing the past, I mean, even in Numbers here, they start writing against Caleb and Joshua, and they're like, let's go back to Egypt. You're like, oh, my Lord. You know, it's just like, what is wrong with these people? You know, do you not remember what was going on there, you know? But we can end up getting in fear dialogue. We can end up shrinking back from the call and the purpose and the potential that God really has for us. Man, if God has spoken to you, if God has called you, then you need to begin to align yourself with that. You need to begin to speak those words of life. Yeah. Think about it. The children of Israel were not allowed to enter the promised land until they eradicated that previous language that they were speaking. Right? That's why they had to kick it there for 40 years. How much of a bummer would that be, right? If you type in an address in your GPS and it says estimated time, 40 years. You know what I'm saying? Like, Lord, no. Help me. Come on, maps. Come on, Waze. Help me around this. There's got to be something. How do I avoid this accident? There's got to be something. But what happened was, why did God prolong that? Because it was a less than 2-week journey. I mean, literally, a less than 2-week journey turned into 40 years. Why? Because it was a language shift that was going on. Because God said, I can't let anyone who's got this doubt slave language, because they can't rule. You can't rule the promised land with slave dialogue. You know what I'm saying? So he understood that he had to get that out. He had to get that language out of them. He had to get that mindset of just oppression, that mindset of lack, that mindset of fear, that whole mindset. He had to get that out of them. And it was only those who aligned themselves with Joshua and Caleb that were allowed to go ahead and step into the promised land, right? And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be stuck for 40 years in something. You know what I mean? And you know, I think we read the scripture like, oh man, that's crazy. I can't believe those guys. But then how many people arrive at 40, 50, 60, 70, still circling, still wandering, because they wouldn't give up their language. They wouldn't change their dialogue. They wouldn't get an alignment on the language coming out of their mouth, right? Your next level is going to require some new language. So let's talk a little bit about what that looks like. What is that next level language? First of all, just as a kind of prerequisite, you got to silence the haters, or silence the limitations, silence the other voices around you. Numbers 13:30, right after that report is going bad to Moses, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses, right? And then he began to speak. But he silenced it. A lot of times we're going to have a hard time going next level in our dialogue if we keep surrounding ourselves with the wrong voices, the wrong dialogue, the wrong statements, the wrong phrases, right? People who just want to talk and whine about everything. You know what I'm saying? Right. If that person you hang out with every week always starts off with, did you hear? Then you need to run from that person. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not trying to talk, but... You know what I mean? Like, any of those types of things. Or if all they ever do is thrive on controversy and pain and difficulty, right? You got a couple of family members like that where they don't want to talk to you unless you wallow in the mud with them. Come on. It's like, Lord, help us. You know, like, you just have to start limiting the amount of times you get on the phone with that person. You know, it's not about being rude, but it's about understanding that I can't get to the promised land if I keep talking like that. If I keep thinking like that, verbalizing that, keep stuck in these voices that are sabotaging my call, my purpose, and my destiny. So you got to make a decisive decision to move away from that, from those voices. Now, if you live with those voices, that does make it a little difficult, right? So you just have to learn how to navigate that. You have to learn how to not indulge that, right? And speak up when you can, and sometimes you just got to have some grace. You know, if you're under the same roof as those kind of people, but you got to keep doing your best to shift the language, right? But so here's kind of what the next level language sounds like. It's a language of victory. Next level language declares victory. It's a vocabulary of victory. Numbers 30 as we continue, or 13:30 as we continue. Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land. We can certainly do it, right? Come on, man. I mean, they're going like, we ain't got this. They're big, they're huge. And Caleb's like, let's go. You know what I mean? It's like, we can take these guys out. We're going to do this thing. There's something about an understanding as a child of God, especially that we can understand. People have phrased it like this. We don't fight for victory, fight from victory, right? The battle has already been won, right? Now, that doesn't mean we do nothing. We still got to walk the battle out, but we fight with the understanding. We step with the understanding. It has been won. The fight has been already decided, but we have to step out in it, right? There's a sound of victory that's different when somebody's got a spirit of kind of that next level of what God is calling them to. And if you find yourself constantly slipping into more of a despair type of dialogue, it's a good indicator where you're at. You know what I'm saying? If you're always talking negatively, right? And you don't have to be Mr. Positivity to have a voice of victory. You know what I'm saying? Like, be yourself. Be your own personality style and your own demeanor. That's fine. But you have to begin to speak with a language of victory that overcomes. An understanding. That was the same thing with David fighting the giant. Now, everyone around is in fear. Everyone around is paralyzed. And he's going, who is this guy? I'm going to take this guy out. He had a different voice, a different sound. The Bible talks about the shout of the king being among us. I mean, we have the lion of the tribe of Judah, right? That roars on our behalf and fights for us, and we can step out in that kind of victory, right? So a language that takes you next level is a language that already sees victory ahead, right? Here's another one, is that a next level language affirms God's promises. It aligns or realigns with God's word. Numbers 13, they're talking about how we can't do it, they're too big, all this kind of stuff, but they must have forgot Numbers 13, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. So they must have forgot that. They lost sight, right? They were in the promised land for 40 days and must have forgot that this ain't just a nice little field trip that they were on. God had already said, I want you to go check out the land that I am giving to you. It's already done, right? It's already understanding that God is in it and God has won it. And so Caleb and Joshua's language was constantly realigning with what God had said. Right? They were reaffirming. They were affirming. They were making statements to stand in alignment with, in congruency with what God had said. And that is where the power of God is, right? When our word aligns with God's word, that's when power is released, right? And a lot of times we're trying to figure out, why can't I get next level? Because we're not aligning our words. We're not aligning our spirit with what the word of God says. Too often times we're getting all of our updates from news channels, right? Getting all of our downloads from social media or maybe from our friends. But what does God say? Right? And yes, this does apply to the political climate we're in, but it applies to every area of our life, right? That your parenting approach, I don't care how your mom or dad did it, what does God say about parenting? Right? The thing about money, I don't care where you're learning or getting updates from, what does God say? Right? If God talks about the tithe and to bring the whole tithe, that 10%, and it talks about offerings. And I know that other people in your world might be like, hey, you know what? You're getting a little crazy with that Christianity thing and giving away all your money. I don't know if that's a good idea. But what does God say? Right? You know, when we were doing our taxes this last year, our tax preparer, which is no longer my tax preparer, said to me, hey, I just want to bring up something to you. You're not getting any benefit from all the money you're giving to your church. That was how she worded it. I was like, hey. I was like, well, that's not true. But she's like, you know, maybe just put that in a nice IRA, nice savings, all that money you were going to give to your church. Why don't you slide it over here so you can actually make money on it? And I was like, whoa, get behind me, Satan. Let's go. I didn't say that to her. Almost. Any of y'all have a tendency to do this? This is a sidebar. I've noticed my wife, when we're talking about stuff or drama or different situations that she's facing and whatnot, she will say things as if she actually said it to that person. And then when I say to her, did you actually say that to him? She goes, oh, no, I didn't say that. I was like, okay, I need you to clarify when you are saying things to me, if you actually said that to them or not. Can I get a witness from any of the men out there? Come on, somebody. Hey, I was like, you did not say that. No, of course I didn't say it. Well, you are doing an actual dialogue reenactment as if you said that. So I don't know what's happening. Okay. So let's keep affirming God's word. What has God said? You know, one of the things for my wife and I, we were up here pastoring for 17 years, and God began to this shift and sent us down to San Diego. Now, I know you have a hard time believing that's a mission field or that God's calling us there, but I don't have time to explain all just the obvious God stuff it was, but God was generous. I was talking with Terrence about that. Generous with confirming through prophetic, through natural, supernatural deals that it's time to step out, begin to travel and minister to the church, and go in base with C3 Church, Pastor Sheridan Leanne down in San Diego. And it just was so obvious. But also, one prophet said to me before I left, he goes, hey, guess what? It's going to be harder than you imagine, right? But while I was still up here, I was like, oh, sweet, no big deal. That's cool. I know God's for me. Who can be against me, right? But then when we got down there, and those first couple years were way harder than I imagined. Here's what I'm thankful for, a word from God. Not only just that word, but many other words, because oftentimes Katie and I will go, listen, I know this looks a little difficult right now. I know there's a struggle right now, but let's remind ourselves what God said, right? Let's go back to the script. Let's go back to God's word. Let's go back to those prophecies, and let's fight the good fight using the prophetic word that God has given us, right? And I'm telling you what, every time I arrested my emotions, my thoughts, and my vocabulary and re-got back to going, but what has God said? Every time I did that, strength rose again, right? Right? Every time you remind yourself and realign yourself to God's word, strength will re-infuse back into your life. Amen. I'm going to have worship team, band, or keys, however you like to end, come back up and join me. This is so important, and one of the most important things for each and every one of us as we are following God on this journey and as we're continuing to take ground is there will be times where God has given you a word and you're like, man, but how is this going to happen? And if you let your vocabulary start drifting from what God has said, that's when you get yourself off track. That's when you find yourself getting messed up. Amen. So Joshua and Caleb continued to have a language that affirmed what God said. God said, I'm giving it to you. And they said, we can take it. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's go. We got this, right? God has given words to this church. I feel like this is obviously an in-season word because I was in the prayer meeting. And I think, Pastor Matt, I think you brought up, man, we're believing that what God has said, he's going to do on some different things. I was like, come on, somebody. I'm telling you what, it's so easy if we're not careful to get our dialogue off track, right? And we got to keep declaring the word of God that he has said and keep in alignment with that. Amen? Okay, here's kind of the last thought here, is that next level language always factors God into the equation. Always factors God into the equation. Because here's the problem. As the 10 spies are spitting fear into the atmosphere and they are rehearsing the why we can't do it, all they're focused on is how big the giant is, how small they are. Giants are big and we're small. But you know, so Caleb and Joshua don't even talk about that comparison. Because that's not how they're thinking about this next season that God's called them into, right? They are factoring a God movement, a God moment into the situation. Verse 14, or chapter 14, verse 8 says this. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, the land flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us. Verse 9, only do not rebel against the Lord and do not be afraid of the people of the land because we will swallow them up. Right? They're going, this land swallows people up. Caleb's like, actually, opposite day, He's like, we're going to swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. And so they begin to lead the charge. And unfortunately, as we know in that scenario, which we don't have to repeat the same mistake, in that scenario, the majority rebels against God, walks in fear, and that's why the 40-year journey of eradicating that had to happen. But if you and me are going to have a dialogue, a next level kind of language, a victory type of sound that's coming out of us, we have to keep factoring God into the equation. I know your situation may not always look easy, but it's not just you against your situation, right? It's not just you against your destiny. It's not just you against something else. God is in the equation, right? And if God is with you, if God is for you, then nothing can stop you. No, nothing on earth, nothing in heaven has the ability to come against the will and the work of God in your life. If He has spoken to you, then you need to keep reminding yourself you're not on the battlefield by yourself, right? David had to keep reminding himself, man, God is for me. He goes, this day, man, God is going to give me the victory today, right? So whatever it is that you're facing, whatever it is that you're coming against, you got to understand, God is fighting with you. God is walking with you. God is surrounding you. The Lord, I love that theme. That's a theme throughout all the scripture. The Lord is with us. And even, I love Christmas time that's come soon. Primarily because I love how He chose to reveal Himself, Emmanuel. What a phrase. God with us. God with us. You're not alone. You've never walked alone. You've never been on your own. God is wanting to walk with us. And as long as we keep reminding ourselves that dream, that calling I have, that business, that ministry, that family that God is putting me to step into, the victory is not just based on me plus my adversity equals my outcome. It's me plus God. Against my adversity equals victory. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a different equation that comes to happen. And you need to begin to allow that different vocabulary. Allow that different language. Get yourself a checkup. You know what I'm saying? Get yourself a language checkup and go, have I been speaking death over my life? Have I been speaking out of alignment with what God has said? Have I been declaring something over my situation that God has not said? Have I been saying something that disagrees with what God's word has said? Come on, let's get in alignment. Let's adjust our dialogue. And let's allow God to take us into the promised land. We cannot enter the next level, this new season, with old language. You know what I'm saying? God's wanting to shed some things off, begin to step into what He has for you. Come on, we need a new language. We need a new dialogue. We need a new vocabulary. We need to ask God to fill us again with a different spirit, right? A different language, that God can begin to tend to the promised land. That God can begin to move you into everything that God has for you. Why don't we all stand to our feet? Why don't we all stand to our feet? We'll close here. You know, even in the New Testament, before the church could get really released into its mandate, you remember that Jesus says, wait for the Holy Spirit. Wait for the promise. And what happened, Holy Spirit? New language. New dialogue. That gift of tongues is speaking. It's one of the most powerful things that God gives us, to step into something new, to walk in a new power that we couldn't normally have with just our own natural language. God gives us new language, new spirit within us. Let's just close our eyes and pray. I just want to pray over you guys here this morning. Father, I ask God for a new language, a new spirit of faith to rise. Now, I just want to ask this question. Anybody around the room specifically, you feel like, man, this is a word for me. Maybe there's some language you know you got to shift. You got to lift up your hand nice and high. Let me know who I'm praying with. All right, all of us. Awesome. You know what? It's something that God is constantly working in and through us. Amen. New level, new language. New level, new language. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I just pray over every single hand lifted. God, every new season, I believe that we're on the door, we're on the edge, we're on the threshold of a new season in many areas of their lives, God, and I thank you. I thank you, God, that you give them boldness to reject wrong thinking, thinking that goes against your word, and that they would begin to embrace a new language. They would begin to speak with faith. They would begin to let a voice of victory rise up on the inside of them. That they begin to see what you called them into with a level of strength and a level of authority, that they're not going to hold back, but they're going to keep stepping into everything that you have for them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for that. Man, I just want to pray quickly. Is there anybody who, man, you're facing something, you feel like you've kind of kept, maybe you feel like you're in a wilderness. It's similar to what I've been talking about, but maybe you're just really saying, man, I need some fresh breakthrough in something. I need to see a shift. Is anybody in the room? Just lift up your hand. Do you mind real quick, come forward. I just want to pray over you real quickly, agree with you. Just believe, man, there's something powerful, right? We lay hands on, we release, we impart into each other a spirit of faith. That's one of the reasons why I'm here this morning, to release faith in the atmosphere, to remind you that God is with you, right? That you're not on your own. Let's just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, keep making your way up front. I'm just going to pray in the name of Jesus. Fresh release of heaven right now in the name of Jesus. Boldness, faith, courage. Thank you, God, for your touch and your presence. Release your vision and your wisdom right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God, for faith, God, to step out. God, I thank you, Lord, that she's not on her own, that the waves won't overtake her, but that you're giving her ability to walk above the waves in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for your strength, God. Give her fresh vision to see, God, that you're surrounding her and strengthening her in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, God, release heaven. Release heaven right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for your grace, Lord, right now. Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit of God, I thank you, Lord, for faith to rise. Faith to rise. Thank you, God, for faith to rise in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your grace. God, you're so full of goodness. Just want to remind you, you're never alone. God has sent his angels to watch, to put his charge over you and around you. He's walking before you, speaking on your behalf in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for your touch. Thank you for your touch. Thank you, God. Come on, lift up your hands, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, God, for your healing touch. Thank you, God, for your presence. Thank you for your anointing right now. God, that it breaks through. God, what the enemy meant for evil, you're working for good right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God. Give us eyes to see. Open up our eyes right now. Open up our eyes right now to see, full of faith, full of vision, full of wisdom. Full of strength, God. We began to prophesy in accordance with our faith. We began to declare in alignment with what you have said. I thank you, God, we come against what any of them spoken. Any diagnosis of terminal disease, cancer, anything like that, in the name of Jesus, I break you, I bind you, I command you to leave them. Spirit of infirmity, spirit of death, spirit of fear, leave right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for strength to come, hope to come. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I'm going to hand it over to Pastor, but I just want to ask it. First, before I want to ask a really, really important question before I go, but I just want to just speak encouragement over Yosef real quick. Love you, bro. I just feel like God just said, just like the cross was used up Jesus, and then when he's lifted up, he'll draw all men. I just feel like God just want to remind you, he's using you to. He's going to lift you up. He's going to work through you to draw people to himself, to reach lost people. And I just saw that picture very clearly over you. So I just declare blessing and favor. Thank you, God, for strength and anointing. I thank you, God, that you use him to be head and shoulders above his peers, above the world that's around him, God, to be able to be a speaker of truth and life and light. And God, I thank you, Lord, for the multitudes that are going to come to Christ because of him and his obedience in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Before I go, I just want to ask one question. Everybody's head bowed, eyes closed, evaluating your own relationship with Jesus right now. You know, everything that we're talking about is built upon the fact that we have a relationship with a loving Father who gave everything to bring us close to him. And I just want to ask this question because it's the most important thing that every single one of us have to answer is that, are you right with God? Are you right with God? I want you to You're asking yourself that question right now. Am I right with God? Here's the deal. How do you get right with God? It's not about checking off a bunch of religious check boxes. It's not about trying to earn your way to heaven. It's not trying to have more good than bad when it's all said and done. How do I get right with God? By putting my faith in Jesus. By receiving the grace of God through what Jesus did on that cross for my life. So if you're not right with God, maybe you've never made that decision, and this is, man, you're just in a space where you're ready to say yes to Jesus and receive the forgiveness of your sins. If that's you, in a moment, I want to pray for you. Or maybe you feel like you've done that once, but you just feel like, man, I'm living off course. I'm away from God. And this is my moment to draw a line in the sand and say yes to Jesus. I'm going to reaffirm that my relationship with Christ. Either one of those, on the count of three, just want you to lift up your hand. Let me know who I'm praying with. 1, 2, 3.